Hey, this is Hal Hester. I'm the pastor of Vineyard Christian Church, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on how God is moving in your life. Please enjoy the message.
Good morning. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas, and if you're like me, just excited about what the new year brings, and always wondering what it is that God is going to be doing. You know, my favorite part about a new year is the simple fact that God is already there ahead of us. He already knows what's going to happen and that he is firmly in charge. So that is the promise of every new year, that God is already there with us. Well, hey, this morning I want to take just a moment before I get into the message. And if you're not familiar with our cross wall back here, we love the cross wall. It is just a symbol of our church family back here. It's not just crosses on a wall, but each one of those crosses is a church family. One of the families that belongs here that has said this is their home. It's kind of our way of saying that, yes, I'm all in here. This is my home. And so we have the crosses on the wall. And I have a cross this morning from Cynthia Miller. And where is she? There she is. Can I get you just to stand for a second? Just a second. There we go. Everybody give her a big hand. And be sure to tell her how glad you are that she has brought her cross. And she's been worshiping with us for a while now, but just glad that she brought that cross in to say that this is her home. All right. Well, this morning, we're going to do something a little different. Every year about this time, I like to do something in the way of a State of the Church Address. State of the Church Address. You know, we have the State of the Union every year in which we kind of reflect and look to the future. And but as a church, we have grown and our ability to fulfill the vision has increased. And so this year, I'm going to split things up a little differently. We're going to try to do our review today, as we've done in previous years, and do a little bit of vision casting about this next year. But actually, it won't just all fit into one Sunday message anymore. I tried last year, and it was way too much, and I just kind of hit some highlights. And so what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to review 2018, reflect on how we did, some lessons learned. I'm going to briefly share a word the Lord gave me about 2019, a little foretaste. And then in February, we're going to do a three-week series that's tied into our vision and for our goals for 2019. I'm really looking forward to that. It'll be a much more in-depth with the call to action and some things for us to consider and to plan on over the next year. And so very excited about that. I'm hoping that you will join us for those messages in February as we look forward. But for now, let's take a look at this last year. And, you know, over the last year, one of the things we did a series in Deuteronomy. And there was a passage there in Deuteronomy that we spent a considerable amount of time on. I'm going to talk just a little bit about this morning as we get started. But it's all about remembering and about how important it is for us to recall the things that the Lord has done. So let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 11. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. Please follow along in whatever translation you have. As always, the one in your lap's my favorite because that's the one that you're reading. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 11, and we read, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I commanded you today, lest you have eaten and are full and have built good homes and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who led you through great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and its scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and my might have gotten me in this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant with you that he swore to your fathers, as it is to this very day. Blessed be the reading of God's holy word." So as I mentioned this past spring, I preached on Deuteronomy and about the importance of remembering. In fact, One of the things that I always thank Dr. Jones for was that when I was in Bible college, he felt the necessity to give us the opportunity to write a paper on some area of theology. And he spent a lot of energy and excitement talking about remembrance theology. And so I thought, well, you know, the thing to do is if you want to stay good with the professor, and I wanted him to write me a recommendation for graduate school. And so I thought, well, what I will need to do is I need to make sure and do that paper on remembrance theology, because that's the one that he's been talking about so much. And so I took the assignment, and then I went to the library, and as I began to look, I immediately realized that nobody had written any books on remembrance theology. And I was thinking to myself, he has set me up. And I remember as I began to dig in and looking at the passages on remembering, I realized that what a wealth of there really was there. And I've spent a lot of my years since then building on this understanding. But there is something really powerful about stopping and remembering what God has done, lest that we come to a place, as it says there in Deuteronomy, where we believe that we've done all of these things, that we've accomplished these things, that it's by our own hand, by our own strength. And, you know, I remember as a young pastor, one of the things that one of my mentors told me early on is he says, listen, there's three things you don't do. You don't touch the gold, you don't touch the girls, or the guys today, and you don't touch the glory. You always make sure that you give the glory to God and remember the things that he has done in your midst, lest he should come and remove your lampstand. Don't forget what God has done. Remember repeatedly to not only keep his word and be faithful to the message, but to remember in particular how God has blessed you. So we spent the entire Advent season, if you will recall, remembering. See, with a lot of remembering here and all this stuff. We spent our entire Advent season talking about the faithfulness of God to unfaithful men. And so today I thought it appropriate for us to remember what God has done in 2018. So let me begin with a little over a year ago, November 2017. Now, one of the things that I do every year is we lay out our messages pretty well ahead of time, begin praying into those things, asking God for direction, even as we set forth, just looking at what God wants to do with us in a year and praying and outlining those things. And so I spend a lot of time in prayer about, God, what are you doing this next year with us? Is there anything that you in particular want to say to us? And I remember very distinctly, it was the very beginning, the very first week in November, and I was praying about 2018. And as I was praying, I very clearly heard the word transition. And at the moment, whenever I was praying and I heard that, I thought, well, you know, gosh, what does that mean? And we had just been through just a really tumultuous time in our lives with the loss of my son, Joel. And I thought, gosh, you know, Lord, I just don't know what that means. That could mean all kinds of things in a moment like this. What does that mean? And then I got this picture of a woman in labor when everything becomes uncomfortable. Now, I say I just have to tell a little, you know, story on myself is that when we were expecting Joel and we were decided we were going to do home birth and we went to all these home birth classes and people wonder why I don't advise this to every guy because like I got an education that you, yeah. Anyhow, and I remember in that moment that one of the things that they were talking about was the importance of transition, you know, and that, you know, at that point a woman is might become very frustrated and upset and nothing will make her happy at that moment. And you just need to go with it, not to become flustered. And so I was prepared. I've been, you know, in that. And so when that moment came, we were, you know, at our home in Canada because it was like 70 below outside and it was terrible. And my wife hit that moment and she was getting flustered. And all of a sudden I realized this is it. This is transition. Now, this is what you don't do, okay? Whatever you do not repeat this. You learn your lesson from the stupidity of Pastor Hal. As in that moment, I went, oh, it's transition. And I started laughing. And the more upset she became, the harder I laughed. I thought I was lightening the mood. I stand before you today to tell you that you will never, never live that down if you ever do that. So the Lord gives me this picture of a woman in labor, and I thought, well, whatever it is, it's not funny. So I know that part. I got that part. But, you know, it is usually just the worst moments before the birth. And so as I began praying, I was like, well, Lord, what is it you're telling me to do besides not laugh, you know, in the middle of things? And I felt like the Lord said, well, there's a lot of transition coming your way. It's going to be difficult. It might even be a little bit painful, but I'm going to do some things in your midst. And here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that the things that are going to come your way that are difficult this year are me and not the devil. So you won't be trying to call those things down and call heaven against all those things, because actually that's not the devil. That's going to be me in your life. I'm going to do a lot of things that are going to feel uncomfortable. There's going to be a lot of change in your life. And so I want you in the midst of that to trust me. And maybe you can laugh then, but not right now. And I thought, oh no, man, I don't want that year. I don't want that year. But here's the thing that the Lord followed up with. He goes, but I'm going to tell you this, how you remain faithful in the midst of that is in the same way that I'm going to bless you. When you call out to me, just remember in the midst of it that to ask for my strength and to hang on, but don't ask me to stop it, because exactly what you encounter in terms of atonement, you will also incur in terms of blessing in 2019. And so let me tell you, I have been looking forward to 2019 with tremendous anticipation and trying hard not to say, oh God, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop. Oh. You have to wonder, do I pray God for do your worst so that I might see your best in 2019? Do you ever think that, you know, about life is that as you look at the turmoil that's going on around you and you see God moving in some things, and oftentimes our first response is to say, oh, no, 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 don't let that happen. We automatically assume that when things are difficult or hardships come our way, that we think to ourselves that we want God to stop it, that we don't want to see. And yet here's the thing, is that the greatest miracles of God are typically in the mix of the greatest moments of tumultuousness. When we see God move is most often on our behalf when we're in the midst of a storm. People don't walk on water unless there's first a storm. And so we have this sense of expectation. I was even thinking about what Jason was saying. John Wimber used to say, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. If there's no risk, then you haven't exercised any faith. It's in the midst of where we find ourselves in that place of holding on and saying, God, I believe you, I trust you, in the midst of it. And so 2018 was a crazy year. We had a large turnover in terms of the congregation and staff. We started 2018 with myself and Jen and Tammy and April and Linda and Carrie Ann. And within a few months, Carrie Ann was gone and April stepped down. I'm really glad to see her playing piano this morning. That was just a reminder to me of the faithfulness of God. And but then we went through more staff. We had David Abecki come and go on staff. And fortunately, he's still here. And Linda Dix, who also stepped down, is still here. But we had our church planting team of Brian and Virginia step down. And so I was like, each time that would happen, I would say, okay, God, I remember that you told me that these things were coming. Transition was coming. And so I'm really grateful, God. I don't like it, but I'm really grateful, God. I'm really grateful. And so I'm really happy to say that April and Linda and David and Brian and Virginia have been such a huge blessing. Not only were they kind and patient in their stepping down and things and being loving to this congregation, but continue to be a huge blessing in our congregation. So would you just give them a hand this morning? Let's just... I really do appreciate them, and I'm very grateful for their friendship. We also added staff in 2018. We added Bobby Hardwick is our associate pastor over worship and youth. In fact, his mom and dad are here this morning. Some of my favorite people. Let's give them a big hand this morning. we used to be in life group together, and I got to tell you that it was some of the best times of my life while I was in El Paso, Texas, was that being able to go to life group and get away from everything, know that I had lots of wonderful people around me. And then we added Dr. Skip Lewis as congregational care pastor. And Skip has done a tremendous amount this year, just in the few months that he's been with us and helping us get some things together with our congregational care and our feeding out and our daily bread and all. And so grateful to have Bobby and Skip both on the team. Let's give them a big hand, shall we? So I'm excited about God, what God's been doing with our staff. The team is tight, and you know, I kept thinking as we were having transitions, I don't know what your staff meetings or your work meetings are like, but for most of you, I hear people all the time, whenever you hear about a book like Death by Meeting, they go, oh yeah, that means when you have meetings, it's like dying over and over again. No, our staff meetings are not like that. I look forward to Monday mornings, to getting together with our staff. I love our staff meetings and the occasional Nerf gun war and things like that. But I just got to tell you that I was worried in that transmission that we might lose that sense of fellowship. But it's only continued, and I'm very grateful for that. I've got a wonderful team here to work with. And so let me tell you what we accomplished this year. First of all, the single biggest thing was our lobby. If you came here just walking through those doors for your very first time, you experienced a tremendous transition. We used to walk through that little door over there, the lobby for the office, we call our reception area. And I just, every time I would look over there and watch people kind of making their way through that little hallway, I kept thinking to myself, that is not very comfortable. That is very difficult. There's no place to fellowship. And so I just kept praying and asking the Lord to make a way, and he did. And so now we have this nice big lobby over here. We have a beautiful entryway that finally got finished. And then this weekend, they finished the stonework. Did you see the stonework out front? Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, that's... I was hoping they were going to make it for Christmas, and when they didn't, I thought, okay, this project is going to like go into next year, and I was kind of... And then all of a sudden, I got a picture sent to me. Hey, look, they got it done. That was wonderful. So, but here's the cool thing. We paid cash for all of that. Yeah, no debt. In fact, the only debt that we have as a church is our mortgage. So whenever we have like our classes on Financial Peace University, and we're talking to people about living a debt-free lifestyle and not going into debt for anything except your mortgage and to quickly work to pay those things off, can I just tell you that one of the things that I love about the leadership of this church is that we have continually functioned that way. In other words, we're not just telling everyone else to do that and then behaving differently. I've been that too many times in church leadership. I've seen where the church is constantly in debt up to its eyeballs and telling everyone else to live a debt-free life. And it really is contradictory. And so we have continually, very purposely paid cash all the way. We don't even have credit cards as a church. We use checking accounts with debit cards and all to make sure that we don't go in debt. And so we have no debt other than our mortgage. And in the process, we've been able to make some serious upgrades to this facility. Not only the lobby, but our community center, you know, which wasn't even scheduled, but there was a gift that was given for that of nearly $10,000. And then we added some additional funds to that. And so even though it really wasn't in the plan this year, we thought, well, we got started, we got to finish it. And looks beautiful out there. If you haven't been out to the community center. And, here's the thing is that buildings are just a tool. You know, like the goal isn't for us to have beautiful buildings. The goal isn't to have great property. The goal is to use our property in a way that it facilitates ministry. And if the building ever becomes more important than the ministry, then the building needs to go. You know, I mean, there's no advantage in a building that doesn't serve a purpose. And so we have been very intentional. And so just trying to, one, like get those doors open so it's easier for people to get in and out and to build relationships and to get to know one another. And then out at the community center, we're feeding people virtually every day of the week. There's lots of things happening out there in terms of other ministry expansion. Our Celebrate Recovery is working hard out there, and it's grown, and just being out there more available to the public. Very exciting. In here, we've taken the first layer of ceiling down, and that's helped improve our sound tremendously, and our video, as well, so you can see it up over people's heads now, instead of it standing behind their heads and things like that. And yet, there's still a lot to be done there to finish that up. To make the ceiling look all nice and get things out of the way. But nonetheless, there's a lot of things that we have accomplished like that in 2019 and or in 2018, and looking forward to some more things for 2019 that we'll talk about in February. But thinking through some of those things, we've gotten a lot accomplished. We also had 15 baptisms this year. We had 10 baby dedications, most of them in the spring all at once. We had a baby boom very suddenly. That was very exciting, and it was good to see, and it's very healthy for a church our size. I'm still hoping to see those numbers climb even further in 2019. In fact, we have baptisms coming up again in a few weeks, so we'll keep you posted about that, but getting ready to have our winter baptisms and fellowship meal. And I hope that you will be here not only for the fellowship meal, but also for the baptisms to encourage those who are being baptized. We had about 1,000 people join us for barbecue. Now, I got to give a special credit to the team for being so much more organized this year. Things moved very smoothly, and the cleanup and the setup was really awesome. I mean, in fact, we were done in record time with fewer people actually staying for the cleanup part, because other people went, no, I remember last year, I'll sign up for the early things to do, and I don't want to be there for those late night. Well, you know what? We actually got done before dark. It was amazing. It was just neat to see how all the organization and everything. And so let me encourage you, if you thought about maybe you didn't stick around for cleanup this year, this next year, actually, it's a great way to wrap things up, and lot of wonderful fellowship in that process. Now, the one thing we didn't do this year is we didn't advertise as well as we'd done the year before. And so we've actually put together a plan to do that better. In fact, one of the things you may have noticed during the Christmas season, how we had our banner, we added a frame around the banner so it could be better seen. We're going to put out a banner early on for the barbecue, not just the one that has all the cool stuff about who's helped us put that together, but just an invite to our community that we're going to put out far and ahead of time. I think that'll help us, because I had a lot of people tell me afterwards, I think I missed the barbecue. I was like, what do you mean you think you missed the barbecue? Well, I usually go to the barbecue and all of a sudden it's November and I didn't go to a barbecue. What happened? I think I missed the barbecue. Yeah, by like a month, okay? So anyhow, we thought, well, we need to do a better job of making sure that we communicate that to our community, because we love just having the people from our neighborhood and from the city come and hang out with us. Always a good time. And this was the first year that I didn't have to go plead with the city to close the street for us. They actually just sent me a note and said, you don't need to come. We already know what you're doing, and we're for it, and so we're just going to close the street for you. You don't even need to show up at city council, and which at the time was really great, but I thought about that later and thought, no, I want to go to city council. I know you're thinking to yourself, why do you want to? No, I want to go there and talk about what the Lord is doing and ask them to be a part of it. So one of my favorite things we started this year was our leadership education and development training. LEAD, we call it. LEAD consists of 5 book reading and reviews and 3 training courses to help leaders understand our philosophy of ministry and to empower those leaders to be empowering leaders, to be equipping leaders. And so in the new year, we're going to expand that training, looking to doing that even further. But let me tell you, one of the things that has been so encouraging, we started it in September. We haven't even finished this first series of 5, but as we went through those first 3 books, having conversations with the leaders that are participating in that, outside of those meetings, as well as some of the conversations we've had in the meetings, has been really, really encouraging. One of my favorites was Buck Sutter has shared with me how he has been actually taking those things to work. And he works for the federal government, you know. And so he's been taking those lessons learned here in the church and applying those things. You know, he has to kind of leave the Jesus part out. But, you know, applying those same principles at work and how it's really been helping them in their area. So the Gulf is getting healthier. The Gulf of Mexico is getting healthier because we're doing lead training. Isn't that cool? And, you know, and I'm believing that we as a church are becoming that much healthier and really helping to equip our leaders to be great leaders, not just to do the job, but for it to be a win-win for everyone who participates. And so I ask for your prayers for that, to continue praying for that area of our leadership development. Looking forward to this fall and starting a second class of people going through those materials, and hoping that you will pray about joining us for that material. Even if you say to yourself, well, I'm really not a leader, but you know, one of the things that will help you to do is understand how we think about leadership as a church. I think that's really important, that, you know, too often leadership in the world, Jesus spoke to that, and he said leadership in the world was all about being one up and over people, and that the leadership of Jesus, the leadership that he teaches, is that he's the God of the towel. He's the one who leads by example. He's the one who leads by service, and we want to have that same kind of leadership as a church here. Overall, we have had 140 different people volunteer in one way or another this year. That is really stinking impressive, guys. Give yourself a big hand. And when you think about it, our average attendance is around 300. 140 people. That means about half of our congregation volunteered in some way this year. And just in case you were wondering, it takes an average of about 40 people every Sunday morning just to pull off a service. Actually, we could use 60 people to make it flow smoothly, but somewhere between 40 and 60 people every Sunday is what it takes to volunteer in order for everything to come off well. And so if you're wondering, is there any place for me to get involved and to do anything? Well, let's see. Yes, there's about 60 places that need constant attention and help. And so, and not to mention all the things that we're doing out here, you know, with feeding people every day. Can I just tell you, that takes a lot of energy and effort. And oftentimes it's one or two people feeding 40 people in a day. Can I just tell you, they desperately need your help and your prayers and your resources. But more than anything, they could use your help. We also need more instrumentalists on the worship team rotation to give those who are on the team a break and things like that. We need more adults in the children's ministry. We need more people on our safety team and our connections team. And, you know, I know hospitality can always use more folks, but 140 volunteers is very impressive, and looking forward to our annual celebration of that. As I mentioned earlier, we don't do debt. You know, as we're laying out the vision for 2019, we will not do debt then. But I got to tell you, here's the thing, in not doing debt, it has been really helpful in a year like 2018 with so many transitions. It's meant our income level's gone up and down over the course of the year. And we've lived within our means, just like you have to do at home. We've lived within our means. And here's the thing, in the middle of it, we paid down a great deal on our mortgage. Let me put this in perspective for you. This church was begun in a living room in 2011. We had our first public meeting on January 29th of 2012. When we bought this place in 2014, we were just 2.5 years old as a church, and we bought this entire complex, 5 acres, about 100,000 square feet under roof, right here in the middle of town. And in those 4 years, this building has gone through tremendous transformation to make it more and more usable, not just look like a bank building and function like a bank building, but to function like a church building. And in that process, we not only paid cash for all of those changes, we've also paid off close to $300,000 in debt. So when I say that, you know, we're trying to live within our means, I want you to understand that when we bought this building at close to $1 million, that we've cut that by 30%. And so when we ask you and Dave Ramsey to live within your means, you can have confidence to know that that's what we're actually living, what we preach personally. We don't tell you what to do and then live differently. The church leaders, at home, and our personal finances, we're living the same way that we're asking you to live. And I hope that gives you great confidence in the leadership of your church. As I mentioned earlier, the community center, home to our Joseph Project and Celebrate Recovery. It's a multifold vision with Joseph Project to build up our community and restore dreams to those who have lost them. So the partnership of Celebrate Recovery and Joseph Project make a great contribution to our city. Currently, Joseph Project involves the Joseph table in the evening, daily bread at lunch, serving anywhere between 30 to 50 people each day. It's a joint project with several churches and community service groups. CR meets out there every Thursday night, making it more accessible. We'd hoped that we were going to start some GED classes this year and learning to read classes. It has not yet come to pass, not for a lack of effort, but just simply just resources being stretched thin. But I can tell you that that building is way ahead of schedule because of the large gift that was given early on. And, you know, the church spent another $9,000 in additional upgrades and so forth. So we had to dip into our savings a little bit to make that happen. But our hope is still that we will build a dream center for education and community development. And, of course, I'm going to expand on that more in February. But right now, I just want to tell you that a whole lot has been done through amazing volunteers for really very little money. And I got to give a special thank you to Glenn Miller, who headed up the development of the project out there. So let's give him a big hand as well. Our mission trip, that didn't happen this year. We made three attempts to set up that trip to Puerto Rico. And so what I'm going to do in this next year, we had talked about this. Somebody asked me. It was funny. I was just been talking to a group of leaders, and I said, you know, we were going to do a perspectives course, and then, you know, life happened in a way that took me by surprise, and I didn't do it in the fall of 17, and as we headed into 2018, I wasn't teaching any classes. I was letting some other people do the teaching and so forth, but I really feel compelled that just after Easter, I'm going to do a missions course. And if you are interested in foreign missions, if you think you might be interested, if you want to go on a mission trip, that really is a required course because I want to make sure that we're taking people on a trip that understand what they're doing and why they're doing it and to get us ready to do that. So we're going to be doing that perspectives course after Easter, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to doing something spectacular in missions very soon. But really asking God what he's doing and not just trying to put something together because we feel the need to. All right. Well, I'm running out of time. I'm out of time, actually. So let me just say it this way. Despite a whole lot of transition, several people moving, leaving, different things, we've also gotten a whole lot of new people. And so for that reason, let me stress to you life groups over this coming year. I cannot tell you how important it is to be in a life group for building relationships, for developing your spiritual gifts. It's one of the best places to get to know your spiritual gifts in with a group of people who know you and are a safe place for you to exercise those gifts, to get positive and even sometimes corrective feedback and things like that. It's just a good, safe way to do that. And again, besides that, just the personal growth. And so throughout this next year, I'm going to be talking about life groups till you are either in one or sick of me talking about it. So this is really important. I just got to tell you that in my life, that some of the most significant things that have taken place in my growth, in my relationships, in my development as a person, the relationships that I continue to rely on the most are the ones that I gained through a life group. And so if you have not been involved in a small group in some way, a life group or home group, a home church, something like that in the past, let me encourage you to get involved with one of our life groups. We've got some leaders who got trained and have been trying to get their life group going And, you know, people say to me, well, what we need is more life groups. I have life group leaders waiting for you to show up, to come to their small group, who have been trained for months and nobody has actually showed up to their group. And so if this sounds a little bit like a scolding, yes. Yes, it is. When people go to the effort of training and getting ready, let me just say to you, I know life is busy and there's a million other things you could do or whatever else, but here's what you don't want to do. At the end of a year, we're at the end of 2018 and you're taking stock. One of the things that I do every year at the end of the year is I get out my old journals and I look through and to see what God has done over the year through me and in me, to see how he's answered my prayers, to see how I've grown, to see whether the commitments I made on Christmas Day, whether or not I followed through with those things, how my family members have followed through with those things. Did we grow? Did we develop? And what you don't want to do at the end of the year is go, wow, 2019 wasn't that good of a year. I didn't do the things that I said to God I was going to do. The promises I made to him on Christmas morning, the promises I made on New Year's Eve or whatever it is, however it is that you evaluate your year at the end of it or at the beginning of it. And as you're looking forward and you're thinking to yourself, gee, I'd really like to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ this year. I'd really like to know my Bible better. I'd really like to know how to do this. I'd really wish I understood this. I wish that I had grown more. I wonder why I haven't seen growth in my life this year. Can I just tell you that one of the most significant things you will do toward accomplishing those goals is you will get in a life group and you will lock arms with the people that are in that life group and you will do life together and quit coming up with excuses of all the other things that you've got to do and all the busyness. Because here's the thing, at the end of the year, I challenge you to remember what any of those things that were so important that kept you from life group. I bet you don't even know what they are. I bet you don't even know why you missed now. It was so important that at the end of the year, when you take stock and you evaluate that nothing has changed, I haven't grown, and I don't see the work of God in my life, that you will say to yourself, boy, it's a good thing I skipped building relationships and spending time with people and putting my life's energy into growing in my relationship with Jesus Christ. It was so important to do those other things that I can't even remember what they are. Boy, that was a good use of my time. God, take me home now so I can be accountable for this year. Amen or oh me. So, let me invite you in the kindest of ways. Do yourself a great big favor. Let go of your big excuses. Let go of all the things that are distracting you. And build a fantastic 2019. Grow in your relationship with God. Because the reality is that I don't know if you'll be here with me at the end of 2019. Everybody's worried about the coming of the Lord. Can I just tell you, your coming might be a whole lot sooner. You never know when you are going to see the glory of the Lord in person, up close and personal. And I don't want you to get there thinking, gosh, if I had only, take time and grow up a little before you grow old. All right. Now I'm going to be nicer. Hey, we didn't launch a church plant. We didn't go on a mission trip and we didn't get JE Day classes, but we did a great job. We went through tremendous change and everything. And I don't know about you, but listen, my family and I made it through our first year without my son Joel, and that was difficult. And but can I just tell you that in the midst of that, I've seen the faithfulness of God, how he has, you know, stood by me and filled me up and brought wonderful people around me. We've got a great church. We've got wonderful relationships. And so I just got to say that, you know, it has been so good and so sweet. And I'm really grateful for 2018, even though it was filled with a lot of struggles and trials and difficulties and everything. I'm really grateful for 2018 because I feel like I've grown a lot in this process, and I'm really grateful to God for it. And I'm so very proud of this congregation. So let me give you just a couple of quick hints about 2019. Just like that word transition 27, and when I got in November of 2017 for 2018, this November, as I was praying, I heard refinement is the word for 2019. The Lord told us that it would be a year of growth, like that 2018 was a year of transition. But the word he gave me for 2019 is refinement. And the image he gave me is with this steel fine point pen. It's the pen my wife uses. She's a mathematician, and it's what she uses to record final numbers on things. It's very precise. It's putting it down in ink. Normally she uses pencil, and it's very precise. I don't know about you, but I like a nice, big, sloppy pen. I like those pens that put gallons of ink with every brush stroke, so I can doodle and things like that. But this is a mathematician's pen, very precise. And I felt like the Lord was making a point for us to be very precise in the new year, to refine what we've done and not to add new stuff, to refine what we have going on. And I got to tell you, that's hard for me. I'm the new kind of stuff guy. I like the shiny new things. And so I'm always doing things and developing things. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. It's what's helped me to be a good church planter, but I feel like the Lord is saying, well, we're going to do some new stuff in you, and that he really wants us to refine things. So I'm looking forward to that, even though it's new territory for me. And he gave me four words to go with refinement. The four S's: signs, sounds, systems, and simplification. Signage means fixing our signage inside and out so that people know who actually meets here. One of the things that came up while we were out in the parking lot serving people and blessing people was they said, by the way, who meets here? And I'm like, what? I'm like, you're standing under the sign. It says right here. And they go, well, there's nothing on the building. I said, there's those big grapes. They match those grapes out there. And somebody said, oh, well, I thought this was the church over here, and I didn't know what that building was back over there. So we're fixing our signage inside and out. That'll also help you to find things like the bathroom and where to park and which building to go to and where the office is and all that practical stuff. So signage, sound. Our current sound system is aging. Our speakers are more suited to an outside venue. There's lots of hot spots. As I was reminded again on Christmas Eve, and I sat right over here and the speaker was pounding my face, and I was thinking to myself, gee, we really need to do something about that so that we don't drive people out of those first couple of rows that are always empty. So that's a thing that we... And with a digital sound system, it will help us to take some steps forward to streaming online so that when you're out of town and I know you're thinking about us, you can check in and look, because I know that's what you're thinking about when you're out of town. Anyhow, lots of things like that to cover. Systems. Around this building, we have lots of systems. One of them is our HVAC system. Most of our AC units were installed in this building in 1997. Now, for those of you who still don't know, it's not the 70s. 1997 was 21 years ago. So we need to start making provision to replace some of them, beginning in this room, because if this room gets hot, I know what happens. So, listen, I make it hot enough all by myself. I don't need to, with all the wind. So, anyhow, we need HVAC savings plan and alarm system needs some upgrades, system stuff. Simplification. That's where we ask the questions, the hard questions. Why are we doing what we're doing? Is it really helping our vision? Is it making sure that we're accomplishing what God has given us to do? And one of those, one of those things is like getting back to life groups. So it means starting no new stuff this year, but streamlining what we're already doing. Make it simple. Keep it simple. Silly. All right. Anyhow, 2018 in review, a glimpse of 2019. I know it's not exactly that teaching moment. Maybe you invited a friend to come and you said, hey, we really dig deep into the word. But I hope that what it gave you was a glimpse at our church family and what we're looking forward to. And I hope that you're looking forward to February when we talk more in depth. Next week, we're going to start a new series as we're ramping up on the book of Ruth, Love, Legacy, and Loss. I'm looking forward to that, getting into the book of Ruth with you. But with all that said, let's go ahead and let's stand this morning. So even without a message per se, let me tell you that the invitation always stands. If you need prayer, if you need to talk to somebody, if you want to know more about following Jesus, let me invite you to come and visit with these folks up here up front, who are prayer team members that are up here. I know that they would love to visit with you and pray with you this morning. But I also want to say that just, you know, this whole thing of vision and expectation, you know, it's born out of hearing the voice of God. And too often what happens in a church, you know, is that we get complacent on about vision, about things that God is speaking to us. And so we have a tendency not to press in to the things that God has for our life. So maybe God has spoken things over you that have not yet come to pass. And there's this tendency to kind of be lackadaisical, to just kind of wait for it to happen. And can I tell you that part of vision is pressing in, believing that you've heard things from God and pressing into those things, moving forward very intentionally, investing yourself, your energy, your time, your effort into those things, pursuing the things that God has given us, that last orders are standing orders. If you're saying to yourself, I haven't gotten any fresh vision, my question is to you today is, have you pursued the vision that God has already given you? Are you pursuing those things and pouring your life into them? Maybe if last year God called you to grow and in the depths of your relationship with Him and you haven't done that, last orders are standing orders. If you want fresh vision, then pursue the things that God has already given you, so that faithful in little, faithful with much. Why would He give us something new when we haven't completed the tasks that we've already been given? And so I'd say to you this morning that pressing in and hearing the voice of God, of hearing what God is doing in your life, begins with obedience. And so I would say to you this morning, if that's the place you're in, if you're wanting more of the voice of God for yourself, can I tell you that it begins in a moment of obedience? And maybe for you this morning, obedience to a word given to you last year or the year before or even a couple of years ago. Maybe it's a decades-old word that you've never followed through on. And this morning, your first step of obedience is stepping out of your comfort zone in an aisle and making your way down to the front to pray with one of the prayer team members. Not because they're something so special. I think they're pretty special folks myself, but it's not because they're so special, but it's because of that act of obedience, of you stepping out, of having the courage to say, I will be accountable for the things that God has spoken over my life. I will follow through. I will usher in. I will run after. I will pursue the things that God has given me. And so maybe that's you this morning. You just need to step out. And not just waiting for the comfort of the quiet of music when everybody's looking up at the screen. I mean even in the right now. I mean in that discomfort of admitting to the person standing next to you or a family member or that you haven't been obedient to the things that God has already given you to do. And so you would just step out this morning, make your way to a prayer team member and say, I am not afraid. I will be bold in my proclamation, and I'm going to pursue everything God has for me. Second, I just feel like God is speaking to some of you about being the add-on in your life, and that God did not give His Son to be your add-on. It's not that He is against being your personal Savior, but God is not just the add-on. It's not something that you put into your life. You know, that Christianity, real Christianity, is like a glass of chocolate milk. Just pouring the chocolate in the bottom of the glass doesn't make it chocolate milk. It's a glass of milk with chocolate in the bottom. Jesus wasn't meant to be the chocolate in the bottom of your cup. He's not just the sweetness when you get to the end and hopes that you have eternal life and forgiveness and things like that. No, God is meant to be stirred up until every sip of your life, until every taste of who you are and what you're about is chocolatey. It's filled with the goodness and the presence of Jesus Christ with his power and his spirit at work within you. And so this is the year of stirring it up. This is where you step out and you say, God, I will not make you an add-on. I won't make you the syrup at the bottom of my cup. I'm going to make my life a chocolate milk kind of Christianity. I'm going to stir you up through all of my life. I'm going to make you my life this morning. And so maybe that's the invitation to you this year as you look back over 2018 and you say, God, as I embrace 2019, I'm going for the chocolate milk life. And then last, but certainly not least, maybe the invitation for you this morning is to not forget. To not forget the goodness of God, the things he's done for you over this last year. Maybe in the hardship or the difficult times, you've forgotten just how good God really is. Maybe you've allowed other things to distract you. Maybe it was just in the busyness of the season, whatever it was. But God has taken second place. Maybe even you've noticed all the things that have gone wrong more than you remembered the things that have gone right. And so part of our remembering the faithfulness of God is to do so, even in the hard times, to cry out to the Lord and say, have your way in me and through me. So with all that said, won't you join me as we worship the Lord this morning? God bless you. Happy New Year.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. And if you did, there's two things I'd love to ask of you. Number one, would you subscribe to our show? That way, the most recent podcast will be in your feed, ready for you when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you and you'd like to help us continue to reach others, you can click on the link in the description to give now.